Jonathan, come on up here, please. Now, you preach, you lay hands on people, whatever the Lord tells you to do.
Yes, sir.
And then when you get done, I'll close it and we get some testimony. Is that a deal?
That was the best I've ever heard you.
Oh.
I enjoyed that. I mean it.
Thank you, sir.
That was anointed. I appreciate Brother Copeland this morning. Praise God. I want to piggyback off of that point that he brought up. Everybody say this out loud. Who forgives all my sin? And heals my disease. So, being raised in more traditional church, people would say stuff like, I'm a healing preacher. And then you'd have other people say, I focus more on salvation. But you start realizing that it's the same power and the same blessing. And then there's something about when people get healed that it breaks the power of the devil. Turn quickly with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. I'm going to do something in my preaching, and I'm not going to preach long. I'm going to get to praying for everybody. But you can see New York and New Jersey, the New York Metroplex has been in the news in the whole world, and especially in America the last week, where you can tell the devil's targeting this place, and a lot of people have written it off. But we're going to do something in the spirit that's not only going to get you healed, we're going to break the hold of the devil on New York City and New Jersey. God's going to shake this city one more time in Jesus' name. There's not any politician on earth that can stop what God has coming to America. Can you say amen? If you believe that, give the Lord a great hand clap all over this place. Hallelujah. Here's what Paul did in an extremely wicked city called Ephesus. The Bible says that he preached every day, verse 10, for 2 years. The Amplified Bible says from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. And God gave Paul the power to do unusual or special miracles. That when handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on the sick, they were healed of their diseases and any evil spirits came out. Now notice that. The residue of the anointing that was in Paul's clothes was stronger than any demon spirit in that area. I'm glad I'm in a Kenneth Copeland meeting today. I'm glad I'm not in some meeting in a hotel where they're glorifying the power of the devil and telling you have generational curses. Curses are real, but the blood of Jesus broke that curse 2,000 years ago, and one drop of that anointing is stronger than all of hell put together. If you believe it, can you say amen? Any evil spirits came out. Any evil spirits came out. That's going to happen right now during the preaching. Any residue of addiction, anything you've been battling for 15 years, the fire of God's going to bust it off your life even before we pray in Jesus' name. Verse 13, a group of Jews were traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But the time they tried it on someone who actually had an evil spirit, the spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? That's not good. Then the man with the evil spirit leapt on them and overpowered them and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them in a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. So the word of God spread widely and had a powerful effect. King James. So the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. What connection? Why would somebody get healed and then everybody go get their magic books and start burning them? There's something about healing the sick that breaks the devil's power. Think of it like this. 1 John 3:8. For this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There's one side of Jesus that almost everybody's been taught, but there's another side that almost nobody's been taught. Jesus is a comforter. Jesus is somebody that's very close in the time of trouble. But there's another side to Christ where the Bible says he destroys the power of the devil. Jesus didn't find sick people and put his arm around them and tell them it's going to be all right and hold them while they died. He attacked sickness and disease, and he did it by the anointing. And the good news is, when he left, he didn't take the anointing with him. He said the opposite. That's what Brother Copeland opened up with. Acts 10:38. No doubt you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Everybody say power. We serve a mighty God. We serve a powerful God. Anytime you start flowing in the Holy Ghost, like we're about to do in about 20 minutes, and pray for everybody. People say, oh, that must be psychic stuff. That must be demon stuff. But there's not power in the realm of hell. The Bible says, once I have heard it, twice I've understood it. Power belongs to the Lord. That power is flowing into your body right now. It's cancer destroying power. It's deaf ear opening power. It's blind eye make to see power. There's nothing the devil's done to you that the power of God won't do something about it today in Jesus' name. If you just went through something physically, maybe had a surgery or a treatment, you're going to heal up quick today. Today's a day that the Lord has made. You're going to rejoice and be glad in it. One more time, if you receive that, do what you're already doing. Put those anointed hands together. Let the devil hear your hand clap. Let hell know they've lost you for good today. Can you say amen? So the Bible says when he was healing the sick, everybody went and got their old religious demonic sorcery books that they were using and just said, I'm done with this. And began to burn it. There's a connection when you heal the sick. You know, if you go to some goofy church, they'll go to war against the power of the devil by, well, let's just pull down. If you want to knock the devil out, pray for the sick and cast out devils. And so I was in a meeting with my Uncle Ted. We did a two-week meeting. I did a two-week meeting in West Virginia. And it was out in a amphitheater. Probably 85 to 90% unchurched, unsaved people. And we had a bunch of people get saved. Town of 16,200. It was actually the reason I went there. It had the highest heroin usage rate in the nation per capita at the time. Clarksburg, West Virginia. And so they were having like 19 people dying a weekend, and there's only 16,000 people in the town. So we went, and the first day, the top heroin dealer came and got saved. The next day, he came to the altar like a traffic cop and started waving. About 20-some people came to the altar. When everybody texted him that day and said they wanted to buy heroin, he said, I'm not going to sell you heroin right now. Come with me. Meet me at this place at 7 o'clock. So they thought they were going to get a better drug, but they heard the gospel and got saved. So that's how long it takes to loose the hold of the devil on a region. It doesn't take long. There's nothing the devil has done to any city that God can't blow it up in one day. Can you say amen? That's what's happening right now. New York and New Jersey are not going to have their final chapter written by the devil. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to write that final chapter, and it's going to be a glorious chapter. Well, we decided to stay another week because so many people got saved. And I had this idea. My dad's oldest brother's a preacher, and he flows in the gifts of the Spirit powerfully. Worked with Brother Shambach for a long time. So I thought, all these freshly saved people, it would be good if they saw the demonstration of the power of God. So my uncle came the one night, and I opened up, and then he came out. And he said, there's a lady here, and he pointed at her. You know, these people have been saved like 5 days, 3 days. And he said, you coughed and coughed last night for over an hour and asked your husband to bring you some water. These, you know, they're sitting there wide-eyed. He said, there's a pain in your lung. He said, it doesn't matter what it is. If Jesus heals it, you're healed. And he prayed for her. She went out under the power. But then he said to the husband, you're blind in one eye, losing your vision. The Lord's going to open up your vision. Prayed for him. He got healed. Then there was a lady that could barely move. Ushers had to help her into the place. He worked with her for a little while, and she went walking across the front. Well, then he prayed. When he prayed for the fourth person, Now you got three people healed. He prayed for this other person and said, you're addicted to cigarettes. The devil's using that to try to kill you. He said, I curse the taste of nicotine off your lip and tongue. I command you to be free. And then she lifted her hands and began to cry. Right when she did that, probably about a third of the crowd just walked up to the altar with cigarettes and skull and all kinds of drugs and tossed them. Nobody gave an altar call for it. Why is it when people got healed, that doesn't make any sense to watch a crippled person get healed and say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to smoke anymore. But it all comes from the same power, the power of sin, the power of sickness, the power of poverty. They're all rooted in the power of Satan. There's an old preacher named John Alexander Dowie. He said, sickness is the foul offspring of its father Satan and its mother sin. So people relegate different things like, well, we do more salvation than there's healing. No, it's the same work of the devil that binds mankind. But thank God the same sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ, didn't only take care of our sin, it broke the power of sickness and disease. Can you say amen? And so when that power got broken in the sickness realm, people quit having a desire for that stuff. I'm telling you, the whole front of the altar was lined with lighters and Newports and Pall Malls and everything else. Looked like somebody robbed a liquor store and then dumped it all on the front because the devil lost a major battle that day. Can you say amen? And the devil's fixing to lose a major battle in your household today. You're going to find out when you get healed, your son suddenly is going to come to church and get saved. There is nothing the devil has done to your family that God can't flip it around right now as you put your faith in his word. We'll tell you two more things, then we'll pray. So we had a lady that went to our church. She's a grandma. And I never met any of her other family. She was the only one from her family that came to church, I believe. And her daughter was in an 11-year abusive relationship, she tells on her testimony. And one day she had enough. She's abusing alcohol and in with this guy that was no good. She took a 4.6-inch knife and jammed it in her chest to kill herself and missed her heart by a millimeter. And then they said she missed a major artery or she would be dead. Well, it turned out they couldn't figure out why they couldn't get her blood pressure up. She didn't miss the artery. She hit the artery and had been bleeding out in her body for 3 days in a coma, looking like she's going to die. Look how the Holy Ghost works. Say that Acts 10:38 with me again. Say the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's Romans 8, Acts 10:38. No doubt, I say, no doubt you know, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's right, Satan is the oppressor, Jesus is the healer. Can you say amen? And then there's a work of the Spirit that the Holy Ghost cares about people. I'm telling you, if you're here today and nobody cares about you, your parents didn't care about you, you've never had anybody agree with you in faith, there is a God who cares about you. He sent his servants here this weekend so that people can come and get help from the throne room of God. You're not leaving here like you came. You're leaving filled with the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. So her grandma, when they found out she was going to die, her grandma went to our church on Monday. Well, our office is closed on Monday, but we have a pastor. He's here with me, Pastor Abraham, who had the novel idea to wake up and pray in the Spirit. And the Lord told him, quit praying and go to the church building. So he went, and when he went there, there's an older lady knocking on the door, frustrated because she can't get anybody to answer the door. She didn't know the office was closed. And Brother Abraham said, can I help you? She said, yes, my granddaughter is dying, and I'm trying to get somebody open the door here because I need prayer. He said, I'm a pastor here. She said, oh, would you pray? And he took her by the hands, and he prayed. Did you know that wound supernaturally sealed up? Her blood pressure went up. She was out of the hospital. But now check this. She said in the testimony, as soon as I got out of the hospital, I broke up with my boyfriend. I quit drinking. I quit going to parties. Why? Why would you do it? Why wouldn't you just get healed and celebrate and have a party? Because the same power that heals people puts something in people to serve the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you something. I sat in meetings like this from the time I was a little boy and watched people get healed by the power of God. When you make the choice to be in a meeting like this, you not only get healed, it does something on your insides where you become in love with Jesus Christ and possessed with a desire to tell the world there is still a mighty healer, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what you're going to do. God is setting you ablaze today. You're going to go out into... Now, Brother Copeland's going to leave after this weekend. I'm leaving, but you're going to stay. They were talking when Iran got bombed about sleeper cells. Turns out there aren't any, but there's going to be a bunch of Holy Ghost sleeper cells in the New York, New Jersey Metroplex that heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. This is not the devil's time. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ time. I hear a great revival sweeping through this Metroplex. You're going to be a part of it in Jesus' name. If you believe it, let your amen be the loudest. Let me tell you one more right here from New Jersey, and then we'll pray. I got invited by the mayor of Vineland, New Jersey. Vineland's South Jersey, in between Atlantic City and Camden. And so we went down there on invitation of the mayor, and that was at the time, and still is, one of the best meetings I've ever had. I never had that many people come to hear me preach before. I actually had so few people that would come to hear me preach that Sunday night when I was driving to the meeting, on GPS, the road was dark red, and it said delay. And I was getting mad in the car. I was driving, and my wife was next to me. I said, how is there traffic on Sunday night? I said, this is demonic. I'm going to be late for my own meeting because all this traffic. And then as we got closer, my wife said, I was honking, yelling at people, drive. Something gets on you when you're in New York and New Jersey where you just start yelling at people from the inside. Left lanes for passing. So as I honked, the people, my wife said, I think they're going to your meeting. Guess it wasn't my faith that drew the crowd. Nobody. I actually had to take another lap around where we were preaching because I had yelled at so many people that would have knocked the crowd down. So we go the first night. It's outside. We had a little over 4,000 people in attendance. Most of it was a crusade, so most unchurched and unsaved. And then we had 908 people come to the altar and give their life to Jesus Christ in one night. So, but this is why I brought it up. There was one guy that towered above the crowd that you would notice him. He was probably 6'4 or 6'5. He had on a white tank top and a gold chain with a gold, big gold scorpion on it and tattoos up the side of his neck and face. I found out later he was the head in South Jersey of the Latin Kings. So I was watching him when I was preaching. He was like this. And then when I gave the altar call to get saved, he never lifted his hand. But then all these people came. Well, when I looked back up, he locked eyes with me, and he went like this. In other words, like, come see me. And I felt led to go see him. Because I felt like if I didn't go see him, I was going to feel led in a different way. So I went over and saw him, and I brought my interpreter, Pastor Israel Lugo, with me. And he interpreted for me. And the guy said, my father has cancer. He's in my apartment. I need you to come and pray for him. So I said, you know, this isn't a one-day meeting. I said, I'm here the whole week. He said, no, I didn't know that. I said, if you bring your father tomorrow night, I'll pray for him first. And he shook his head, yes. So then I came the last night, or the next night, I forgot what I had said the night before. But when I got the mic up on the stage, they handed it to me. I turned and faced the crowd, and that guy definitely didn't forget what I said. Because next to him, in a white hospital bed, was his emaciated father laying there from Puerto Rico and four other gangsters that he had each of them carry a corner of the bed about half a mile. It was like the men that lowered the crippled man through the roof, but with more 9mm and parole ankle bracelets. And so when I got the mic, he went like this. In other words, I did my part. You better do your part. So I preached, gave the altar call, and then that service kind of changed my life because, again, I had more of a traditional background where somebody wants healed, you should get saved first kind of thing, which you should get saved. But God operates by faith. So think of it. That guy, when he heard me the first night, What does it show if you're going to have four of your guys carry your father down to a field for prayer in the 90-degree heat? That's not unbelief. And then think of this. Even though he didn't get saved on the first night, he also didn't give me the middle finger and storm off the field. So he believed it. He signaled for me to come pray. That's faith. And God honors faith. You'd be amazed how much will happen if you just say, I believe you, God. I believe your word. It turns something on in the spirit where all God's promises and blessings start flowing your way. And all God's promises and all God's blessings are flowing your way right now. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, you're going to get healed. People in your family are going to get saved. There's not one person in this place that's going to go to heaven by yourself. God's going to start something in the spirit where everybody in your family is standing next with you in eternity in Jesus' name. You believe that with me? So I said to the father, I said, where's the cancer at? He said, in my stomach. So I said, put your hand on your stomach. And I put my hand on top of his, and I prayed. And I, like, really meant it that time. Because I didn't know how this was going to go. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the blood of your son that purchased our redemption, our forgiveness from sin, our healing of all disease. I curse this cancer in Jesus' name. Everybody say, whatever I bind is bound. Whatever I loose is loosed. Yeah, there comes a time where you have to quit praying and start speaking to what the problem is. I said, you foul cancer, every cell of you, I curse you in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of this body and pray it. I prayed in tongues a little bit. If I knew any other languages, I'd have given them a shot too. And I could kind of, not that you go by how you feel, but it does feel nice to feel the anointing. I could feel the presence of God there. And so I got enough guts to peek. And I looked, and the father now had both his hands lifted, crying. And he was going, Santo, Santo, which means holy, holy. And so I got a little more guts, and I looked up to see what the son was doing, and the son was not observing anymore. I guess watching his dad get touched. He lifted his hands. The Bible says, and many believed on him, seeing the miracles that he did. Miracles, the demonstration of God's power, does something for people's faith. And so he was lifting his hands and crying. And I said to the father, I said, look, the healthy color's back in your skin. Obviously, I don't have an MRI machine that I pour around with me to see if it's gone. But he was sitting up. He said, I feel better. And then a boldness came on. Actually, I'll tell you this part, too. I looked at the head gangster. He had his hands lifted crying. The four guys he brought with him weren't feeling anything, but they have to do what the boss did. So, you know, Brother Copeland asked how many Catholics are here. My mom was Catholic. You know how in South Jersey, they throw in a bunch of other stuff. So they were looking at me going like this. It's like, South Jersey's got their own genuflect. And so they were looking at me. One guy gave me the thumbs up. In other words, we're not going to kill you. You're doing a good job. And so I said to the son, I said, a boldness came. See, they go together. The same way you get boldness. I said, what about you? I said, you believe everything I've preached. You would have never hauled your dad down here if you didn't believe in Jesus Christ. I said, you probably believe in Jesus more than most of these people that are at the altar do. I said, so give your life to the Lord. He shook his head, yes. And with my interpreter, he grabbed my hand. I had to pause the prayer four times for him to collect himself. As he said, Jesus, come into my heart. The same power that healed his father broke down his stony heart, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV broadcast study notes today at kcm.org/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from, discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/notes.
My name is Yvette, and I am from Brooklyn, New York. I actually came here to sit under the word and to stand in the gap for many. And yesterday after the meeting, I was walking outside on the compound, and all of a sudden I got this pain in my lower hip on the right side. But it wasn't just a pain, it was like a pressure, it was a heaviness. Even when I was sitting here this morning, I was praying and interceding for those who needed it. And as Brother Copeland started the confessions, all of a sudden, I just feel like it started to seep away. It just started to drift. And I said, God, you're faithful. I said, thank you, because I didn't come here for this. But because I came here and the enemy tried to attack me, look how you just showed me. He can't touch you. He got no power. So I am so happy to be here and to have been healed even when I wasn't expecting it.
God is good.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. All this week on The Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and his special guest, Jonathan Shuttlesworth, reminded us that healing is the covenant right of the child of God. Now, today is offering day on the broadcast, and in Galatians 6, 6 through 7, it says, let the one who is taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Now, has the word you've received from Kenneth Copeland Ministries changed your life? Have you received answers through the teaching that the Copelands and other guest ministers have shared with you on the broadcast? Then according to God's promise in Galatians chapter 6, you can be sure that when you sow financially into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, God will be faithful to his word and see to it that you receive a harvest in return. Partners and friends, thank you so much for the financial support you've sown into this ministry. For almost 60 years, the Copelands have faithfully ministered the uncompromised word of faith around the world. And when you sow into this ministry, you're joining with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, helping to teach believers worldwide who they are in Christ and how to live in victory by faith in the covenant promises of God. God never forgets the seed you sow into the work of his kingdom, and he will cause an abundant harvest to return to you as his word has promised. Let me bless your offering today. Father, thank you for serving us with seed to sow, as you served us with bread for our food, and you are multiplying every seed that we sow today, increasing our fruits of righteousness, enriching us in everything to all bountifulness, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for the harvest on the seed you have sown. To give by text, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Together, we are sending the word of faith to people around the world.